Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
So we are going to start our presentation now. I'm very much looking forward to this. We have Olga Berdikan. She's doing embodiment tips, how to survive a photo shoot and get good pictures. If you would like to come into the main room, please raise your hand. That means you'll be able to be seen and heard by Olga, and she'll have some lovely faces to talk to, which is great. You are, of course, welcome to stay in the webinar format in the background if you wish as well. No obligation whatsoever. If you have any questions throughout the presentation, please do put them in the Q&A and I will get to those towards the end. But enough about me and this, it's time to move on to Olga. Olga is a photographer and psychologist who coaches visible embodiment. She helps clients to integrate how they are seen and manifest in the world with deeper aspects of their lives. She studied psychology at Moscow State University, works as a professional portrait photographer, and combines her photography work with research into somatic movement. She's currently living in Berlin and deepening her research with a postgraduate study in neuroscience. So she could not be more qualified for this. I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to say. And for now, please give your attention to Olga.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. And I hope it's a good morning for you. I'm really excited to be in this conference and presenting the topic I love. When I was thinking about the topic, I wanted to do something practical and useful. And as a photographer, I work with normal people who don't know how to pose, who are not professional models. And what I see every time, it's that people are like, they're really nervous and anxious coming to the photo shoot, and they have a lot of kind of questions and insecurities and like, oh my God, and they're kind of quite stressed. So it takes me some time to sort of work this through and then actually move to taking pictures. And I thought that today we can talk about possible reasons of why it happens. We will talk about how our body image is formed, what are the components there, and how it might be sort of stressed on the photo shoots. What can come up and like what to do with it. So I will give you practical tips how to deal with your possible anxiety and actually enjoy the photo shoot and get great pictures and, you know, don't worry about that. A little bit about myself. I was like counting, and actually I started my education in psychology 15 years ago. I'm quite young, but still. And roughly the same time, I got into photography. And for me, it was kind of quite like not a direct journey that I was knowing where I'm going and what I'm doing. I was like exploring a lot in psychology. I was studying different things. I was studying also expressive art therapy and then coaching and then transformational coaching and sort of working with different groups of people in business with adults and with teenagers, with kids at school. So I was like trying out different things. And at the same time, I was trying out different things in photography and like eventually landed in portrait photography. And then about 6 years ago, like embodiment and movement kicked in, and I just dove in into contact improvisation and then somatic movement. And then I started holistic dance and embodiment. So, and actually this embodiment frame or like focus actually enriched my photographic experience, and I think it actually framed what I do now. So I prepared some slides, so I will share my screen now and talk a bit more about that.
While Olga is getting her screen ready, just a reminder that if you want to come into the main room and be seen by Olga, you can raise your hand virtually and you'll be promoted into the main room. Otherwise, you can stay in the webinar format with your camera and microphone off.
Great. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Great. So maybe let me tell you a bit more what I'm doing now. I'm not just a photographer. I'm not just doing the professional shoots, for example, like for business purposes or family shoots, or I'm doing some kind of photo coaching sessions, which I called authentic photo shoots. And actually, this is like the merging of three of these disciplines I was practicing and studying. At a certain point, I think I realized that in everything what I do, the central figure is the person. I'm really interested in people and how they really are, what they really feel, or what they really think, you know, how, what is their deeper essence, their like inner beauty and inner strength, which actually everyone has, but not everyone can get access to it quite easily. And this authentic photo shoots, they came up first like as a project to explore this inner essence and like inner truth. But then I realized that actually they're quite therapeutic, and they're sometimes it's more therapeutic session, sometimes it's more coaching session, and we can use them for exploring certain issues clients is coming to me, and then we can add all this, so we can address these issues and work in a very safe, non-judgmental, and kind of very curious and open space. We can definitely include the embodiment element, because like you are seen in your embodiment, you know, like whatever you move, how you stand, what you say, you know, everything, like this embodiment is seen, and it can be absorbed by me as a photographer, and also it can be felt by the client, and then it can be seen in the pictures. So while we're exploring like with words and embodiment, the issue client come with, I'm making pictures, and then we can use these pictures as a witness of the process. Sometimes it's a trigger if the question is connected with like, for example, how I feel myself in front of the camera, like why I'm frozen and I wanna have a good pictures, but I just, I don't know, I'm just standing there, and it's really hard to overcome that. So sometimes we work directly with that as well. And then also we can use these pictures as an anchor, kind of seeing ourselves sometimes in the moments, kind of unexpected moments. And in these moments, something can come up, which is not accessible by the conscious psyche, but it's still there. Because like, I think I can't fake anything. I can't make anything on the picture. If it's there, if the emotion is there, its embodiment is there, like there is some truth is there and it can be seen, it can be caught in the frame. And then like the client can see that and actually access to this state, sometimes not through the embodiment and feeling if it's hard for them, but through the picture. So yeah, this is very inspiring work for me, and it can go quite deep. So yeah, and some of the issues I work with, actually is, so it's mostly connected with how people feel themselves in front of the camera. How do they feel? Yeah, in the process of being photographed, like people come with like, I never look good on the pictures, or I just don't like my pictures to be taken, but I still want to have a good pictures. And, you know, it's kind of like tearing them apart, or that they, how they feel themselves, it doesn't match what they see on their photos. And they're like, why, you know, it's kind of just a different person. What's going on, you know, and we can explore that. Or yeah, people think that they're not photogenic or they're not beautiful or something wrong with them. And they're looking for the possibility kind of to explore that and maybe see the other side. So yeah, this is some of the topics we work with. And yeah, and actually if you see, there is, okay, let's go to the other slide and then I will explain what I mean. Actually, I think it's the biggest existential dilemma we have, that we have our bodies, and we can be seen from outside by other people, but we can not kind of see ourselves in the same way as others see us. You know, like we can feel, we have sensations, we have our inner feelings, different kinds of feelings in the body. We have our ideas, our thoughts, our life, kind of our life in our body comes from inside. And but other people can just see our body, our embodiment, how we do something, how we express ourselves. And for me, it's kind of a paradox, you know, like, so we have so much information about ourselves, but at the same time, this is other people or other, like this outside observer who have much more visual information about ourselves. So actually we can, the how we look like, we know just through reflections of, you know, like in the mirror or pictures or video, or this is other people telling us how we look like or what they think about how we look like. And then it sort of helps us, or it makes us to build this body image and get the idea of who we are, how we look like. And for me, it's like, it's just fascinating. I mean, it's like really, really strange maybe thing. It's kind of obvious, you know, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, I can't see my face. You know, I would never see my face. This is funny. Like, you can see my face, but I can't. And it's the vice versa. Like, why? So yeah, so let's talk about how actually we construct our body image and what are the components there. So body image is what we think about ourselves and what the how we kind of how we see ourselves in our mind, you know, the so the first and the yeah, this funniest thing is that actually we can't see ourselves directly. We can see ourselves just by reflections, pictures, mirrors. We can see like directly, we can see some body parts, you know, so like, I mean, we all have this view from the top, and then we can see our limbs. And of course, they're not 100%. I mean, this is a certain angle, so they're not 100% how they are. They really are. And so we have a lot of distortions in our vision, let's say, because it's like the certain angle. How do I look at myself, even in the mirror, for example, and then the mirror might have a distortions. So it can make you wider, it can make you shorter, it can make, you know, so there is this thing. And then also when you look at yourself in the photos, it's the same thing. It depends on the angle, it depends on the light, it depends on the lens which were used. So again, there is like, it's never the whole truth, you know, even if we use all this means to try to make this like to construct our idea how we actually look like, you know, it's every time there is some distortion there, so it's a little bit, it's never the 100% truth. And I think it's kind of fascinating as well. It's important to remember this, especially if sometimes we have some maybe unpleasant ideas about ourselves and we then look for proofs in the picture and then, yeah, it's my, you know. The next is our felt embodiment, I would say. Sorry, I'm trying to place some the next is our embodiment, our somatic and sensory experience, and this is really important to remember and to take in, because it's how we move in our body, how we feel ourselves inside our skin. It's how flexible we are, what we can do with our body, how we can move, how easily we can move. And this experience will be very different, like if you're doing any sports or if you're doing like yoga and you're very stretchy and flexible, or you're not doing anything, or you might have had any injury, you know, so it kind of limits your experience maybe, or it limits your movement, and then it gives you some idea how your body is shaped maybe, or maybe it's age, or maybe it's just some just occasional things. If you, I don't know, ate too much food and you feel bloated and you feel like, you know, heavy, and then it also influences on your body image. And at such moments, I'm feeling like, okay, no, I'm not beautiful, I'm horrible, I'm definitely don't want to be seen because I'm like just a balloon, you know. And then it's kind of, I know that it's temporary, but at the same time, it's kind of shaping my body image a little bit differently at this moment. Also, it's how you feel in your clothes. Like clothes is actually a big thing to shape our experience. Again, how tight is it? How loose it is? How does it allow me to breathe freely, or does it contract my movements again? And maybe my clothes is too small for me, and then I will definitely feel uncomfortable because it's like I can't squeeze there, you know, it feels like I'm too big for that, you know. So it's kind of very relative, experience, let's say. The next thing is is culture. It's the context you are living in. It's first of all, culture shapes our ideas about the body and the beauty. So yeah, I think you can make your own examples, and maybe you have, yeah, probably you know what is the perfect beauty, let's say, in your country or in your city or your part of the world. You know, like, I think it's very different from country to country, and you can see it's traveling, and you can see how people look differently, or how they make their hair differently, or how heavy they are, or how they dress up, and what is sort of appropriate for the country and for the culture, for the religion, for example, and what is not. And maybe here can be the question, how do you fit in this culture or in the context you are living in? Yeah, for example, I had a story. There was a girl who was kind of like very informal, wearing dreadlocks and kind of this kind of clothes, but she was living in a small Russian city where she just couldn't go out in this kind of outfit and with this hairstyle to the street, because, you know, it was just not accepted. And so it was also like shaping the idea. Yeah, like, how do you want to conform to this, to your culture, or you feel that you're standing out, and then you are kind of looking for your own ways to express yourself and maybe to feel yourself as well. And like, it also gives us the idea, it might give the idea that, like, am I beautiful? Am I good enough for this culture? How do other people react to me? So this is also quite important. And the last thing for shaping our body image is like our personal history. It's what actually happened to you in your body in your lifetime. How did other people react it on you, and how maybe what they were saying, also how they were commenting your, like, your body or your dressing choices. It can be some maybe memories of some people when you were a child or when you were a teenager. You know, some people might say something about how you look like, and then you kind of remembered that, and then you took it to your adult life, and then have you revisited this idea, or you might just stick to this idea, which actually now outdated, but it's still shaping your idea of your body and, yeah, how you look like, whether you're beautiful, whether it also might be your own evaluation of your own appearance, but like some time ago. I remember when I was a teenager, I saw my photo and I thought, like, I had a very huge nose, like it's a horrible nose. And I was like kind of sticking to this idea that I have a big nose. And I think for about 10 years, and then I kind of looked again at new pictures and I'm like, oh, actually I'm not. And something has changed, but I was kind of, I got stuck to some idea, which, yeah, then felt, I don't know, important, like when I was 13, and then it changed. So it's also, yeah, good to revisit your ideas about yourself. And yeah. So then, so we have our body image, which is constructed from all these different angles, from how we see ourselves and the pictures and reflections. And so this, like, images, it's our inner sensations, how we feel in our body. it's what other people or our outside reality tells us, and how does it comments on how we look like, whether we are beautiful or not, and again. And so when people come to the photo shoot, actually it puts a lot of pressure on them. And what I was hearing from my clients, that they feel like being in the spotlight and it's like too much attention, and photographer looking at them very like directly. And some people were like, why are you looking at me? And I was, you know, it's my job. You came to me to get the pictures, so I'm trying to get the pictures. I need to look at you, you know? So for some people, it was like, even if it was the context for that, for being looked at, for being kind of seen, I think it makes them feel, might make them feel maybe quite naked, you know, because as an outside observer, I might see something that they didn't control, or, you know, something, or I might, you know, there's like, it might rise a lot of anxieties and a lot of insecurities in the moment. And what I heard from people, what they were anxious about on the shoot, maybe you can relate to some of these things. That, for example, that I don't know what to do with my body. It's like, should I look at the camera? Shouldn't I? Like, how should I pose? I don't know how to pose. I'm like, shit, I haven't prepared. Or like, yeah, like what? Yeah, what should I do? Where I should put my hands? And kind of it makes people anxious and it doesn't help. Also, some were saying like, what will they think? Yeah, like what if I'm as a photographer judging them? Or what if the people who will be looking at these pictures will think something or kind of judge them somehow? Or maybe they will judge themselves looking at this picture, saying like, oh my God, you're like, you know, again, you can see this, you know. Or they wasn't sure if they look good. Like, especially, I think, again, like, am I beautiful? You know, do I look good in this dress? Was it a good choice? Or like, how does my body parts, which I'm very much insecure about, are they seeing, you know? Do the photographer also like looking there and thinking like, oh my God, she couldn't, I don't know, taking different dress or whatever, or like she has a huge ears, or I don't know, like I'm very anxious about my cheeks all the time, you know, still. And I'm trying to like, I don't know, somehow hide my cheeks. So it's a sort of working on yourself, you know, it just doesn't go away. You need to put some compassionate attention. Some people were very focused on the result, you know, like they came for a photo shoot, they're paying money, they want the result, so they need to perform, I need to perform, we really need to work hard and, you know, get it done. And then like what I see is the person who is like very focused, very stiff, and like they maybe they're not sure how to pose, but you know. Actually, it reminds me of the passport photos being taken, you know, like because you are like very focused, you are told to look at the camera, freeze, and don't blink, you know. It's like, I think, did you have this experience like of your passport photos being taken? It's like, it's perfect. I think they create this what we call like stress response. If you watch some sessions, I think you know what a stress response, yeah, like it makes us anxious, and they just make us, they create this state in our body. You can like practice now, like just like look at the camera, freeze, I don't blink. Are you breathing? What was the first thought in your head? Like, maybe write it in the chat.
People saying they're stopping breathing when they try and do that, and they when will it be over, those kind of questions in the chat. Not your presentation, the experience of having your passport taken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so what I noticed that almost everyone has this passport photo experience, and we come for a different photo shoot with the same attitude, like, I know what I should do, look at the camera, like freeze, because it's a picture, you know, I shouldn't move, and I shouldn't blink, and, you know, all this kind of, a lot of stress there, and a lot of anxiety about the things we just talked on the previous slide. And let's shake it out. It was a little bit emotional, probably. Just breathe, and like one, breathe in and breathe out, and maybe move some more, or just like feel a bit more in your body and kind of free. Like you can blink, you can, you know, breathe, just feel good, and let's move to the actually tips how to survive the photo shoot and make it better experience. So how to prepare. So there will be two parts. One is how to prepare, and other what to do on the photo shoot itself. So first of all, you are the people who know yourself, and you need to take care of your needs. First thing you can do is actually get used to how you look like, but in non-judgmental way. So what you can do for that, you can try exercise with the mirror. You can just come to the mirror, look at yourself, and be curious about the person you are seeing there. Like probably your attention might, you know, like jump to the points you're normally looking at, like, is my cheeks are too big, or I don't know, like, do I look good, or what's going on with this face, or, you know, what's like, I don't know, where is my cellulite or whatever, like it's I'm talking about myself. But just look at your mirror image and just be curious about this person, you know, like look what is interesting about them. Maybe you notice something new, you know, what is beautiful about them. If you are looking, if you didn't know that it's you, you know, it's just some other person you see on the picture or in the mirror, like what you can say about them, what you like about them. So, and if you do this exercise maybe for a couple of minutes every day, you might start noticing some new and maybe, yeah, some maybe new attitudes also, and kind of like look with curiosity, you know, maybe look at, as an artist, like what is the jawline, what does the hair look like, if you want to draw this person, for example, or if you want to make, you know, yeah, like take a picture of this person, like how, like what you find interesting about them. And also like you can practice with taking selfies, or just ask people, just make a picture of you without actually thinking or like posing too much, just, you know, just to have more pictures of yourself from different angles, and which helps you actually to get used to how you look like and stop being surprised every time you see yourself in the mirror or in the pictures. Like it really helped me. I'm also doing, I video myself sometimes, just like putting the camera and like doing some exercises, which I'm doing anyway. And then I can see myself in the movement, and then it kind of gives more three-dimensional experience. And yeah, so it also shows me something that, again, other people can see because they look from outside and they look me in the movement, but I can't because I live in, from inside myself, my body, and it's just the means I can use. Yeah, so the second thing is choose clothes in which you feel comfortable. Like for me, it's essential. And this is what I tell my clients every time, like you need to feel comfortable in your clothes. you need not just like, it's very important that you like your mural image and like definitely choose something you like. But it also should be like nice, nice cloth, and it shouldn't make you feel somehow stiff, or you shouldn't worry that you need to, you know, kind of adjust something or it might go wrong, or, you know, so like it definitely should just work perfectly, and then you won't be worrying about that. You will be sure that you look good, you feel good, we can concentrate on something else. Of course, I do give some recommendations about the colors, maybe, but I always say like, there is a recommendation, but if you have your favorite dress or favorite whatever, which doesn't go into my recommendations, just like go with your favorite thing. I'd better work with you feeling good rather than me trying to create a beautiful picture and then you are kind of being stuck in this picture. So go with your feeling. And the third thing is like, think in advance, what else can make you feel good. It can be anything. I mean, maybe you want to grab a coffee before the photo shoot because it just makes you feel. I do grab a coffee. Or maybe you have a favorite music, which also makes you feel good, or it might help you to relax on the photo shoot. And that's great. Like, take your favorite music or something else. I don't know. Maybe you have your own ideas already. So, kind of think how you can make yourself even more comfortable and even more happy before the shoot, because probably if you don't have any experience, you will come and you will feel nervous and stressed anyway. So it will at least reduce the first anxiety levels. On the shoot, first of all, when you're there and then you feel like, I don't know, something, you know, make sure you're breathing, because like how we tested with the passport photo, like if we're stressed, it's one of the, like if we're stressed, first thing which changes is our breath. We might hold our breath, or we might kind of breathe more actively or something else. So like, probably, you know, make sure that you are breathing. And if you feel that you are holding your breath, just like breathe in, breathe out, and make you feel alive again. Second questions I'm also asking it is like, where is your attention when you are in front of the camera and in front of the photographer? Where is your attention? Are you there somewhere behind the camera and you're thinking like, do I look good? Is it my right side? You know, is it like how I will look later, or will we get good pictures? You know, something like you're not here, you know, you're somewhere there and you're trying to control something you can't control because you don't know how you look like. You don't know what will be on the pictures. And like, actually you're with throwing your attention away from your body, you making it kind of worse, and it's not helping the process. So like, bring it back to the body, feel like you can notice any sensation which is active now. So maybe you can feel how your clothes is touching your body, or maybe it's, I don't know, some wind on your face, or just sensations on your skin, something which gives you, or maybe you can feel your feet, like how you are standing on your feet. So it gives you, it brings your attention back to your body, to yourself, and you can actually, gives you more control. If you, you know, feel anxious, it's a good thing. The next thing you can check, is there any tension in your body? And you can, to do that, you can scan yourself, like bring your attention first to your face, and check your jaw and your face. Like normally on the photo shoot, we're like trying to make some faces or like smile, or, you know, and sometimes people discover that they're kind of tired of smiling or tired of having some kind of facial expressions they have for like the last 5 minutes and they're just stuck there. So it's good to like maybe do some movement, you know, and then and then also like trace this tensions, like go back, what happens to your shoulders, maybe you stiffen your shoulders and move them a little bit and then go down, and like how does your belly feel like, and are you like, yeah, again, are you holding your breath, is it tense, go down to your legs and then down to your feet, and so check all these body parts and relax and move a little bit. This is also very helpful. And the last thing is, how do you want to be? For me, it's essential questions, because sometimes when people come to the photo shoot, they think that it's how do I want to look like, you know, how do I want to be seen? Because pictures, it's so much about being seen, about this, again, like a picture, you know, like, but it's what I like believe in. And in my experience, you can't make anything if it's not there. So you can't show anything if it's not there. Or maybe you're a great actor, but I think actors also like work through the sensations, like how I feel, how I want it to be seen, then I should feel it. So actually ask yourself, how do you want to be? If you want to see your relaxed, nice, fun pictures, then be relaxed, find the way to enjoy yourself, to be, you know, to have fun. And then you will get these pictures, then you will see, because it will be real, it will be, yeah, real you. And and that's almost it. So yeah, I would say that you don't need to suffer for your beautiful pictures. The best you can do is like really relax and enjoy yourself. And you can definitely blink, move, drink coffee, talk, whatever, make yourself comfortable and just enjoy. So this is it. If you have some questions, we can answer some questions.
Fantastic. Thank you, Olga. Yes, we do have some questions in the chat. Really, really interesting stuff. If you'd like to stop your screen share, we can see your beautiful face. Really, really interesting exploration of what's going on for us and what makes photo shoots good and not so good. So thank you so much. Really insightful. We have got a couple of questions for you, specific ones. For religious reasons, I cover my hair. There is often a dark shadow in photos which can give a whole different emotion than I feel. Do you have any suggestions to eliminate the shadow or convey the emotion I want with the shadow?
Thank you for the question. It's like really interesting, because I think I've never had this experience with a person covering their hair for a religious reason. So I can't exactly imagine how it looks like, where does the shadow goes, you know? So
it's Lily's question, who's in the chat with
that. Oh, okay. I would say you can definitely choose the angle of the light, if it will be falling not from the top, which probably casting the shadow like normally from the top, then you have shadow on your eyes. And then, so if it goes more to your face then probably it won't be any shadow. Or so I would suggest to play with the light and maybe just see what light gives what kind of shadows on your face.
That's wonderful if I have the luxury of being able to choose that, but often I don't, and I'm just with my phone doing a selfie, or I'm doing a video, a Facebook Live or something like that. I hope to be part of a wedding party where I'm not the bride, so everything goes according to the bride. And I came on camera so you could see it's very dark here. And it looks, you know, it could be like, you know, somber or sad or very serious. I don't feel, I'm delighted. I love everything you've said. It's so true. And you put such care and compassion and sensitivity in what so many of us would like to say. I was camera shy for so many years, and now I'm not. But I don't have a solution, you know, and then people start wanting to tug at my head and I don't want that. And this is all, this isn't my hair. This is all dark from the shadow.
Well, you can try to get the, I mean, if you're making selfies, like, and if you have the window with a real light, you can try with it, because normally it gives this like good flat light just in front of your face, and just play a little bit with it. Because yeah, when if it goes from the top, it's yeah. It's,
so the top is not good. You're saying from the side is better. The
light. From the side. So like now I'm sitting in front of the. It's a window. So yeah, try to use more natural lights and windows and kind of big chunks of light. Yeah,
I actually don't have a lot of natural light. It's in the middle of the night here right now. I'm curious about, and then I'll go so other people can talk. What about angles or perspective? You know, like if I say to the photographer, could you stand over here, like what would be the best thing for me to say?
I think just experiment, like seriously, like it. Yeah, you can try again. You can try with your own camera, just like see which angle you like most, and maybe then says like, I like myself from this angle, so please do that, because otherwise, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Lily. So lighting is such an important part of it, isn't it? How do we get the light on our face? Certainly whenever I set up for a Zoom call of any kind, it's the first thing I'd like, actually, can you see your face? Is it lit?
Yeah.
That's so important. We've got a Zoom question here, actually. These are very good tips for teachers facing online teaching. There is a visceral fear of being on the computer camera. Any insights for teachers on how to handle somatization, have I said that correctly? in online sessions, being more embodied in online sessions?
Yeah, I would say if you heard about centering, it's a good thing to do. So actually, it's bringing attention to your body. So what you can do first, you can trace your tensions. Like I just explained for the photo shoot. So you can notice where is your tensions and breathe it in and out and release them, move a little bit your body and feel more inside. Because normally if we're stressed, like at least when I'm stressed, I'm feeling myself somewhere floating around and it's like hard to ground myself. So do something which brings your attention inside. Definitely breathe, like notice your breath and like make some breathing in and out. And also it's really good to feel where you sit on or stand on. So feel your feet or feel your bum, how you're sitting on the chair. And with this, feel how you can relax your belly and relax your chest and your shoulders. So for me, it's like three components, like you ground yourself with feeling where you sit on or stand on, you breathe, you don't hold your breath, and you relax all the body parts which you find being contracted, then definitely reduces the stress levels.
Fantastic. Thank you. There are more questions. Do pop them in the Q&A for Olga. We've got a question here. Jessamine, is there a reason why some people look much worse in photographs than real life?
It's a great question. Thank you. Yeah. I would say probably two things. One is some people are very Some people are really good for photographs and some people much better for video because they have more vivid maybe facial expressions and or they have a certain type of face which is kind of moving a lot. Or I think like my face is like really bad for pictures, but it's good for video somehow. For some people, they have kind of, maybe they have less or certain type of facial expressions, which somehow really look good when you make the pictures and stop the movement. It looks every time it's just perfect. I don't know how it's working, but I think there is definitely some difference. And I think it's just interesting. And also, like, you can see that, for example, there are professional models. They have a certain type of like face. They have certain sculpture. So there is sculpture that which looks good in still pictures, and there is other like sculpture and embodiment which looks, I think, better on video. So I don't know. Did I answer your question? Or?
Yeah, it bone structure makes a difference, doesn't it, for photographs? The way that models' faces are, they have good bones. Something I'm always fascinated by, and you highlight this in your presentation, is how much my body tenses up and I become on and ready for the photograph rather than being as relaxed as I can be. If we're just in normal conversation, if a camera comes out, there's a part of me that my body all tenses up and my jaw tenses up and I'm like, I'm ready for the photograph. And it happens instinctively. And I wonder why. Do you know why that happens? Do you know why that why do we freak out when the camera comes out?
Well, I would say, like, how I understand it, it's more of the previous experience, probably. Like, one is the previous experience, because I don't know, like, when I was a child and we had these pictures taken in school, they were kind of like, you need to make great, you need to make a certain face. You sort of, we know that we should do something to get a good picture. So it's something like we need to pose somehow. And I think that this kind of jumps in. Yeah, and I think the other thing is like we actually want to look good, so we kind of try our best to show our best, and then yeah.
Great. Well, we are about to wrap things up here with Olga. It's been really fascinating. If there's any burning questions, if anyone's like, I need to grab a bit of her brain while she's here and stick it on my face, then go ahead if you have any last questions for Olga.
Or if something pops up later, you can just write me on Facebook or, yeah, just let's continue the communication. I'm up for it.
Yeah. Something else I find very fascinating, something that you mentioned about how we're really used to seeing the mirror image of our faces. And there's an option on Zoom where you can take off the mirror imaging because Zoom sets it up so that you see the mirror image. I think so that you are happy with your face because it's more familiar. Because if you turn it off, I'm like, oh, my nose points a weird way. Fascinating that we get used to seeing ourselves through the mirror and not through the reality that other people see. Lots of thank yous in the chat there. Thank you. This was brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. I'm very happy I dropped into the session. So thank you very much. Any more? Cool. All right, Olga, thank you so much for sharing your insight. That's been absolutely fascinating. And we'll all go away now and try and breathe and stay normal, stay embodied while we have our pictures taken. Really.
Thank you.
Yeah, really, really good. Great. Thank you so much. So if you have enjoyed this presentation, you could just watch it again for the next 48 hours. You could watch it on repeat, because the videos are all available for free for the next 48 hours. Or you could go into one of the coffee break rooms and have a chat about what you've learned or experienced. The coffee break portals are open. You'll see them in the portals. You'll find the coffee break rooms. Someone is saying they will watch it again, maybe on repeat. Fantastic. So the sessions are free for 48 hours. There are a lot of sessions throughout the conference, so there's a lot of learning. If you can't fit all of that into 48 hours and you want to give yourself a bit of time to digest some of these things, then you can upgrade to have lifetime access to all the videos. If you do that during the conference, it's half price during the conference, and you will also get audio versions so you can listen to them while you're on the move, and some notes on each session and learning lists as well. So lots of goodies there if you do upgrade. If you are able to upgrade, it helps us to be able to put this conference on for free for the duration. So if you are able to upgrade, it's very, very helpful. If you're not, just enjoy the feast that we have over the next few days. We're here until Sunday and there's plenty more to enjoy at no cost whatsoever. So that's it from us here today, not for the whole day, because we have got other sessions coming up. The next one is at 10 a.m. and that is David Mooney. He's going to be doing A Way to Creativity, Dance and Movement as a Creative Connection to the Natural World, at 10 a.m. on the Dance and Creativity channel here. If you want to catch up with Olga, you can find her website is Olga, it's going to be in the chat, it's olgabedikian.com. So you can chase up her in the virtual world. All the details are in the chat there as well. So before we leave, I just want to come back to you one more time, Olga. And I want to ask you, what is your top tip for being more embodied?
I would say breathe. And enjoy.
Breathe and enjoy. Thank you so much, Olga. It's been an absolute pleasure. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. And we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.